All right, thank you for being with us again this morning. Leave your Bibles, most of us, I'm sorry. Leave your Bibles open to Jonah chapter 1. We do have an announcement. I hope it's okay, Brother Cruz, to announce. Brother Fred, who lost the contest up here, and his wife are going to have their sixth child. So let's give them a hand. By the way, I appreciate people listening in church. We've had a baby born every single month, and my daughter, Allison, covered December for us. That was nice, and I think we got January and February covered, so we're good, but we're a little bit light going forward, but some of you are starting to pick it up, and we've had several new ones, and so I encourage you, please help us out next year. That's going to be our theme for the church. Let's have another baby, so help us with that. I also encourage you very strongly, go to your class Christmas fellowship on Fridays. That's one of our biggest activities we promote for our adult classes. And so I hope you go, you have a good time, and you can trash their house, and it's their house. You can stay till midnight. Feel free. Just stay as late as you want to go. But it's just a good time, particularly if you're newer, in a non-church setting, just to hang out and get to meet some folks in the church and spend some time and have some good time together. You know, we're going to look at a specific thought in Jonah. I've preached on Jonah many times, and I want to just share a thought from chapter one. When I was in Bible college, a friend and of mine and I, we were on a road trip, so we were driving through the Midwest, and I think we were in Nebraska, and I was driving, and it was about 3 a.m, and I was getting tired, and I didn't fall asleep, but I was really tired. He was in the back of the car sleeping. And I'm like, hey, Johnny, why don't you get up and drive so I can get some rest? And he's like, sure. I'm like, you feel okay? He goes, yeah, I'm great. I'm good. And so he got in the car and drove. I got in the back seat, and I kind of laid down. And I fell asleep right away. And about a half hour later, I woke up to pump, 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 pump. And I thought maybe he's just being creative. He was driving in the green grass between the freeways and having a really good time with that. And he finally got us back up on the road, and he's like, I can't stay awake. I'm falling asleep. And so as tired as I was, I thought, I'm driving. If anybody's going to kill us, it's going to be me. So at that point in my life, it was time to wake up, right? Some things are worth waking up for. Remember that thought. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Jonah, there's so many practical applications in Jonah. You could go on forever and ever. But in this chapter is the beginning of Jonah's problems. We know that he eventually, if you read the last verse in the chapter, that he's in the belly of the whale. And of course, he has a revival meeting. And he ends up vomited. On dry land. But as we look at that, chapter 1 tells us how he got there. Jonah was a prophet. And so a prophet was one who listened to God and gave his word to where God gave it to him. That would mean God would give him a specific message for a specific time to a specific people. And God did that. He gave him a specific message to take at that specific time to a specific people. Those were the Ninevites. And it was of judgment. But the problem was Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. And if you read through to chapter 4, you find out that Jonah did not want God to in any way give mercy to the Ninevites. In fact, he gets mad with God at the end when God actually lifts his judgment because the Ninevites repent. And so Jonah decides to reject his assignment, to reject God's will, and to go the other direction. Of course, the results of that are always horrific. He gets in a ship going the opposite direction. There's a terrible storm, and they all think they're going to go down. But where is Jonah in the midst of all this? Well, the mariners, the guys running the ship, they're having a revival meeting. They're scared to death, and they're calling upon their God, and they're doing all this stuff. Where's Jonah? Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried everyone unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ships of the sea. They're praying, but they're also doing what they can to lighten it of the ship. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah was asleep. By the way, the mariners running the ship, these guys weren't novices. They understood the sea. They understood the storm. You know, look, if you're ever on a ship and things aren't going well, look and see how the captain is doing. The guys that are paid to run the ship, if they're okay, it's not a big deal. If they're afraid, you had better get afraid. These guys are scared senseless. Verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now the shipmaster, the key guy, goes, look, this, it's over. Call upon your God so we don't die. What are you doing down here sleeping? Jonah, who was disobedient and deliberately out of God's will, is peacefully sleeping in the bottom of the ship. By the way, before I go on, that reminds me of people. I've had all kinds of people come to me and they've made bad decisions. And they'll say, but I have a peace about it. So did Jonah. I just feel this is God's will. So did Jonah. That doesn't mean that's God's will. If it's God's will, it'll be recognized in his word and it'll be recognized by others. But that's not the message. Prayer and peace are really no substitute for obedience to God's word. You know, I just feel like God, I had a lady actually come one time and say, you know, God wants me to divorce my husband. And I'm like, I thought it. I shouldn't have said it. I'm like, you're probably doing him a favor. But I'm like, before I could even get the words out of my mouth, like, no, he doesn't. She's like, I already picked somebody else out. I'm like, well, we need to pray for him. But I'm like, that's not in the Bible. So, I mean, there's that, okay? But we do that sometimes. But anyhow, back to our story. So the mariners get with Jonah, and we'll go through it a little bit here, and they figure out that, hey, it's Jonah's fault. Jonah says, throw me into the sea, everything will be good. They're compassionate. They try to still row the ship, and finally when it's not working, it's like, what was that thing you said, throw you overboard? Let's go with that. And they throw him overboard, and the ship's done. Jonah becomes fish bait. But here's the message. How could somebody disobeying God, distancing himself from God's will, and in the middle of experiencing the negative circumstances because of those decisions, sleep peacefully? I mean, it was time to wake up a long time ago. And he didn't. Jonah became comfortable in where he was in his relationship with God, even though at that point it was a disobedient one. Can I just say this? That happens to us as well. You know, Satan kind of flips us on both sides. We can become comfortable in a disobedient Christian life, but sometimes almost as dangerously, we can be comfortable when we're trying to do the right thing. And once we get comfortable in it, we no longer go forward, we start to go backwards. The point is, we need to wake up sometimes. There is a serious inherent danger in getting comfortable in your relationship with God, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And by the way, when I say comfortable, I didn't say content. You ought to be content in your relationship with God. You ought to be content with what he's doing in your life. But never let it get to the place where you're comfortable. Because, by the way, that happens in every relationship, doesn't it not? You know, again, I mentioned our newer married couples. You're excited in your relationship. Be careful that you don't get so comfortable in relationship that you quit working on that relationship. You quit making it better. The same is true in Christianity. That's what happens. So this morning, in the few minutes we have, I want to, and again, when I say this, you're going to freak out. 8 areas where we just need to look at our life like Jonah didn't and notice if we need to wake up. And they won't be long because some of them are just very, 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 very standard. First of all, do we need to wake up in the area of obedience? Look at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So God gives him a direct command. Verse 3. But, it's always a bad word in that kind of context. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so that he paid the price, the fare thereof, and went down in it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, sometimes if we're not careful and we get comfortable, we quit trying to live the life of obedience to what God wants in our life. It was very clear. You say, now, Pastor, where do I find that? It's in God's word. It's very clearly, look, as a Christian, we talk about the will of God, and I get it. We're supposed to follow the will of God. But the primary source of the will of God in our life is the word of God. And whenever God says something in his word, we know without a shadow of a doubt that's what he wants for our life. Now, let me ask you, are you okay with doing what you want sometimes over what God would want? That's disobedience. And by the way, we all have that kind of bent in our life, right? Because we live in this flesh, we naturally want to do our own thing. We naturally want to go our own direction. And we have to fight that sometimes. But when we get comfortable, we quit looking at things from the perspective of, is that what God would want for my life? You say, but Pastor Myers, I'm doing this thing in my life that I've always wanted to do, and it just kind of seems like things are working out. By the way, they might work out on the front end, but just because something works out does not mean it's God's will. Bible makes it very clear. Jonah decided, I'm not going to Nineveh. I don't like those people. Jonah was more of a nationalist than really a prophet. And by the way, I'll be honest with you. I don't blame them. Ninevites were bad people. They were not good people. You do your history. Read what they did to their enemies. But God gave him a very specific command. And he goes down and just happens to find a boat. It just happens to be going away from where he wants to be. It's like God is in this thing, except for one thing. God wasn't. God had already spoken. So let me ask you this. In your life, are you okay if it's something God's already said? Or if it goes against what you want, are you okay with walking away from that? We need to check our obedience. If we don't get our obedience right, nothing else is going to be right. Nothing else is going to be right. So, do we need to wake up to obedience? Do we need to wake up to our problems? Look at verse 4. And the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You see, the next step always after a choice of disobedience is disturbance. God's going to try to get you back on board. God's going to try to get you back in the right spot. Unless you're so far from God, you can't hear him anymore. And by the way, the farther you go from God, the harder it is to hear him. And hopefully, when we do things, look, so if you do something that's disobedient and God, you have a bad feeling about it, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That means you're sensitive to God and God's showing you, like, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, that was wrong. I need to get that right now. That's good. But sometimes we get so comfortable in what we're doing, God's got to send a little disturbance our way. He sent a great wind. He sent a mighty tempest. He says the ship was like to be broken. Here's what you can expect from disobedience. You're going to feel pressure. That great wind, they felt that. That's pressure. And by the way, disobedient life always brings pressure. There was a tribulation coming, a mighty tempest. Now the ocean is starting to swell up. That's a little more direct than the wind. And then the brokenness of the ship, it's starting to break up. There's the negative consequences. All of those are bad, but what's worse is when we don't recognize them. We're like, why are all these problems? And by the way, some problems are just things that happen that are part of life. And we just have to deal with that, and God will give us the grace to get through it. But you know, the worst problems are the ones that are brought on by our decisions. Those are ones we didn't have to go through. By the way, there's things that happen in life. It happens in life. We just got to deal with it. But he didn't have to be on the ship. He didn't have to experience any of that. That was his own choosing. But when we get to the point where those things start to come in our life, instead of us recognizing that God's trying to do something in our life, or God's trying to correct us or get us back on course, we get comfortable with it, that's a bad place. So look at your life. Are you asleep to problems that God may be bringing in your life? You just get used to the problems as opposed to seeing what God's trying to do in the midst of those problems. Are we asleep to correction? Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried everyone unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. I mean, first the mariners got together and said, excuse me, we need God's help. And they're having a revival meeting to whatever their God was, and they're praying. And then they're like, okay, now, you know, prayer without works isn't going to happen. So they're throwing stuff off the boat too, and nothing's working. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and they lay and was fast asleep. Okay, look, revival was happening on that ship except in the heart of Jonah. Okay. Jonah is the one God was trying to get a hold of, and these other guys who are worshiping false gods, they're getting right with their wrong God. The wrong people are getting the message. The correction was for Jonah, and Jonah totally did not get it. Look, if God is bringing something into your life, and I'm not saying God's looking down from heaven, and every time you make one little mistake, he's going to kick you. That's not reality. But sometimes God is trying to correct us. Are we asleep to that? You say, well, I have problems in my life, or things are coming my way, and I'm trying to live for God, and there's not some sin. I've not purposely made a bad decision. Then James tells us God's bringing that into your life to mature you, to make you a better Christian. Go through it. God's going to give you his grace. But we're not going to get God's grace if it's because of our disobedience. God wants us to correct the situation. People, I've met with people throughout the years, and they'll come to the office, you know, hey, can you help me, or do you have thoughts about this? I have these problems in my life. And what they want me to do is tell them how to get out of the problem. The problem is the consequence of their reaction, of their decision. And they want that pressure taken off. No, that's the fruit of the problem. It's not the root of the problem. They don't like it when you get down to, like, here's why that's happening in your life. They're like, no, I just want you to help me get this problem off of me. I don't want to dig that deep. Well, you're wasting my time. Because we may correct that fruit from the problem, we may cut it off the tree, but guess what? The tree's still producing rotten fruit. We have to get to the root. The root is God's trying to bring correction in your life and you're not listening. God's trying, and even in a good sense, God's trying to mature you as a Christian, and you're rejecting that. That's not what God wants. Are we asleep to correction? Next, are we asleep to spirituality? Verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him. Why? Everybody else is working. Everybody else is praying, and Jonah's at the bottom of the ship. And said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise. And what does he say? Call upon thy God. He says, Jonah, why aren't you up praying to your God, trying to find a spiritual answer to this? Because Jonah, through his disobedience and neglect of listening to God, his spirituality level was seriously low. He wasn't seeing things from a spiritual perspective. Isn't that a dangerous place in life? To be at a place where we don't see things in light from God's perspective, that's where problems come. And by the way, you got to be very careful, because everywhere you go, everything you hear, everything you see is going to push you in the opposite direction than spirituality. All we hear in our society now is about all of our problems and all of the division. And let me just say this, 95% of it's garbage. Our country is not nearly as divided as they try to tell us. Look around you. I mean, look, I'm white. I'm a minority in my own church. Okay? And I understand, I'm not blind. I know there's problems out there. But we blow things up, and we have no clue. And we're trying to find answers to problems. The answers would make the problems worse. Because we're not willing to look at things from a spiritual perspective. We look at problems from a worldly type perspective, and we're going to miss the solutions. Yeah. As a Christian, spirituality is not just something we do on Sunday. It's something that's a part of, it's who we are 24 hours a day. And I'm sorry, we're going to look at problems from a spiritual angle. We have to. That's where the lasting answers are going to be found. But we don't want to look that way. And so as Christians, let's look at it. Let's look at things and what is God trying to do? Is there something in my life that needs to be done? Next, are we asleep to correction, to confession? Look at verse 7. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast up lots that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Finally, they say, okay, look, they're to the point like, the problem is because of somebody. Okay, so it's like, let's cast lots. It's not throwing dice. It's something like that to where, okay, you know, rock, paper, scissors, right? Okay, oh, you're out, you're in. And something of that nature. I'm being a little facetious. And hoping that God helps them find out who the person is. And guess who lost? Jonah. God kind of directed that, like, all right, well, let's just go ahead and just lay it out there for you. Excuse me. Then they said unto him, tell us, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is your occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And they're like, all right, tell us what's going on. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the land and the sea. And so they find out that's Jonah. He's the problem. And he's responsible for the problem. Now here's the thing: Jonah got caught, but he didn't confess. Okay, you don't confess to a crime, and you can, but it's not true confession after you get caught, right? I mean, I get it. I used to be a youth director and pull the teenagers in. And maybe they did something stupid. I'm like, hey, did you do this? No. And then I always say, you know, I talked to so-and-so. I always, at least their face would drop. It's like, now, so should I ask you again? And they're like, no, I did it. That wasn't confession. No, that was admission of guilt after they were busted. Okay? We have two options when we do wrong in God's eyes. God will deal with us, and it's like, just go to the Lord and say, you're right, I did it. Okay, that's confession. That's going forward without being caught. Most of us, we want to wait until bad things start happening, then we want to confess it. You know what God says? He knows that we're frail. He knows that we're going to do wrong. And so if you read 1 John, he gave us a formula for fixing that. Come to him, confess it, agree with him that it's wrong, and go on and do the right thing. Don't wait until you're too far down the road. Don't wait until your family's been blown apart. Don't wait until your life's a train wreck. Do it up front. If you've done something wrong, own up to it to God. Come forward to him and say, Lord, I've done it. I know it's wrong, and I want to fix it. I want your help. That's a better place to be. That's where God wants you to be. Are we asleep to accountability? Look at verse 10. Then the men were exceeding afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. They're like, all right, they're holding him accountable for what he did. They're like, why did you do this? You know why? They were suffering the consequences of his actions. And by the way, we could park that bus there for a while. I tire of adults and married couples who do all kinds of crazy stuff, and their children are going to pay for it. By the way, we'll just park here for 1 second. When you got married, you took that responsibility. Well, that's not going well. That's your spouse. You have a responsibility that, well, things aren't going well. Well, make them go better. Work it out. Well, you know, there's problems here. Well, you had children. When you had children, you're saying they're mine. I'm going to take care of them. That's your responsibility. And I would fear as a parent to do something that would put my child in a bad place. Some of us just need to grow up. Yeah. You're married now. You're an adult. Quit acting like a kid. We're ruining our families and we're ruining our children because we don't want to grow up. Get off the video games. Quit hanging with your single friends and be a parent. Be an adult. Okay? That's just reality. Back to our regularly scheduled message. And Jonah said, but they're holding him accountable. They're saying, Jonah, what happened? What happened? You know why they asked him that? They probably were confused. Here he is saying, I fear the Lord. And then next sentence is, oh, I'm fleeing from God. It's like, hold on a second. That does not compute. So you fear God and you fear him so much and you love him so much, you're running from him? I don't get that. That's not working here. They're holding him accountable for his actions. By the way, I think that's a good thing, isn't it? That helps us. By the way, let me just throw this in, another side brief, and I'll be kinder here. But that's why sometimes people choose churches. They want a church that won't tell them the truth. You know, you want to come and hold your Bible and drink your coffee on Sunday morning and then live like you don't even know who God is Monday through Saturday. That's not good. That's not good. He said, but Pastor, I don't want to hear things that go against what's going on in my life. Neither do I. But I hear it all the time. Say, oh, you're not perfect? Not close. When I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Okay? And we all need it, don't we? Doesn't it help keep us in line? Don't you want to be kept in line? Don't you want? We all do. Okay. Next, are we asleep to urgency? The ship's heading down to the landing strip. Hang with me. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth and was tempestuous. And they said unto him, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the ship to the land. They could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O God, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took Jonah up and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Do you see these guys? They did everything they could not to throw him overboard. But the situation was so dire that they did that one thing that they did not want to. Now, I'm not saying you should go throw somebody overboard. Although in some cases, it's pretty tempting. I got some names. You probably have some names too, and I hope not one of them's not mine, okay? But the point is, that's something they did not want to do, but the situation was so dire, they were willing to do it. They were getting right because of the situation. And even then they did that, they were trying to stay right with God in a sense, even in doing it. Urgency. Is there any urgency in your life when you're being disobedient to God? I mean, we all struggle, I get it, but when we don't see how bad it can be in our life and there's no urgency, say, you know, I just want to stay close to God. Boy, we're in a bad place. Then lastly, are you asleep to compassion? Verse 13, and I mentioned this, but I want to, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land and they could not. Even though they knew that Jonah was the problem, even though Jonah confessed of being the problem, even though Jonah was on board with being chucked overboard, these guys still cared enough to try to not do that. Yeah. You know, one sign that your life is a wreck, you don't care about others. Everything's about you. Everything's about you. You don't care about the needs of others. You don't. These guys were pagan. I'm just going to be real honest. I don't know who their God was. Now, I hope through all of this, they feared the real God and they got on board with it. By the way, it would have been nice if the prophet would have steered them the right direction, but he had no testimony. What's he going to say? Hey, pray to my God. It's like, oh, the one that you ran from? That's very scary, isn't it? Jonah was so messed up, he had no moral authority, as it were, to help these men because his life caused them great pain. And that's what happens when we walk away from God. We're asleep to the fact that we're hurting the cause of Christ and we're hurting our opportunity to be a blessing to other people. Amen. Look at your life today. Are you asleep to some things that are vitally important? I know we were kind of all over the map. The point is, we know when we're comfortable. We know when we're allowing things to our life and we're not spiritually alert enough to catch these things, and we want to do that so we can stay in the right spot and we could serve the Lord the way he wants us to. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. It is so easy to get content and not content, complacent in our Christian life. The longer that we're Christians, the longer that we know the Lord, the easier it is to fall asleep at the wheel. It's the easier it is. And so let's be careful about that. Maybe there's some areas in your life, as I went through some of them, you can identify where maybe you're asleep a little bit. You say, you know, I want to correct that. I want to fix that. By the way, don't ever think, here's what Satan will do. He'll get you to think that you're beyond it now. It's too long. It's too far. You can't change. You can't get that right. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But you have to do the work. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know for sure if you were to die that you would go to heaven. What I mean by that is, if you were to die today, are you 100% for sure without any doubt that you would be in heaven? That's the first thing you need to wake up to. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Myers, with none of us looking, all of us with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you say, Pastor Myers, that I'm afraid that's me. If I were to die today, I'm not 100% for sure that I would go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to take care of. Pastor Myers, would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that at all? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Let's stand together. If God has spoken to you this morning about anything, why don't you come?